You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers 5 days a week. And tonight, finally, for the first time in 2019, there's a basketball game. The Pacers are back against the Chicago Bulls. And now, on the other line, I have Stephen Noe from the Athletic Chicago to talk about the Bulls. Is it Stephen or Stephen? Crap, I should have asked you before.
It's Stephen.
I thought I got it right. Okay. I have a non-basketball question for you. How many times do you have to be a guest on the show before it becomes annual? Is it just two or is it three?
I think with the short life of podcasts, I've had two failed podcasts now, so I think two is definitely long enough.
Annual tradition now, Bulls preview with Stephen, though.
Hey, always a pleasure to talk to you.
So about 10 minutes, 15 minutes before we hopped on to record, the Bulls made a trade, and an outsider's perspective, this trade is a home run for the Bulls. What do you think of trading Justin Holiday for what appears to be Marshawn Brooks, Wayne Selden, and two second-round picks?
I am very pleasantly surprised that this deal got done. The Bulls were trying to shop Holiday last year at the trade deadline. If you recall, they spent the last half of that year tanking in very embarrassing fashion, and they didn't even play Holiday because they were trying to lose games, and they just couldn't get any takers for him. So for them to get two second-round picks from the Grizzlies, I mean, those should be decent, I would think. So I think it's a home run for the Bulls. Yeah, I'm shocked that they actually value second round picks enough to ask for them. If you look at the history of how they've used those picks, I mean, they just sell them or use them in salary dumps. So I don't know, maybe they're going to flip them in like a Jabari trade later. I think this is not the last trade that the Bulls are going to do this year. They're probably I would not be surprised if they use those second round picks and flip them somewhere down the line.
My non-Bulls insider information guess is that the player they waive will be Cameron Payne. But I want you to guess for me now.
I think they have two non-guaranteed deals. I haven't researched this a ton because, as you said, the trade just broke. But Ryan Arcidiacono, I know, is non-guaranteed. I think Shaq Harrison is too. The guarantee date is, I want to say, January 15th. So it would probably be one of those two guys just because they can save some money that way. And Harrison has been a lot better than Arcidiacono. So my guess is it's going to be Arch there.
I remember when these two teams played in Indy, I looked at the stat sheet after the third quarter in the stadium, and Arcidiacono had 0.0 rebounds, 0 assists. I was like, why? And he's played like 25 minutes.
Oh, he was playing 40 minutes per game when Hoiberg was still the coach. I mean, they just had nothing at point guard. So it would kind of be a bummer, actually, if he got cut, because he's really a high hustle guy. I'm sure, like, your listeners have no idea who this guy is, but Aaron Kraft went to Ohio State, right?
Yes, he did.
So if your listeners are familiar with like Big Ten basketball, he's like the Bulls version of Aaron Kraft.
Aaron Kraft went to Ohio State for what felt like a decade.
Yeah, just like a super tryhard guy.
That's fair. Let's talk about the actual Bulls, who are 10-28. Would you say their record is actually indicative of how good they are? Because I feel like I expected to see worse than 10-28.
They have a really interesting strategy. So they know that they're going to be out-talented in most games. And last year, or just even when Hoiberg was coaching, John Paxson, the vice president, he said that he doesn't really care about wins and losses. So the Bulls would just play their bad players, you know, try to get some development. But Jim Boylan, he is making like less than $1 million this year to coach the Bulls. He is coaching for his future, trying to get that big payday. So he's trying to win every single game. And what they're doing is they're just slowing the games way, way down, trying to junk them up and like use variance to their advantage to try to steal games late. So that's kind of worked. And as you said, like their record under Boylan has been actually pretty respectable. If you look at point differential, which a lot of people use to determine how good a team really is, they've vastly outperformed their point differential. So I think that there is like a little bit of fool's gold with that 5-9 record under Boylan.
That's interesting that Boylan likes to slow it down, because aren't they like kind of fast? No, they're 21st. Never mind. Maybe it's just because they have a lot of young guys, but I felt like A, anecdotally, and B, watching them those two times they played Indiana already, that they were at least somewhat faster than that.
So they're a completely different team than they were with Fred Hoiberg. Hoiberg was all about pushing the ball, getting early offense. Boylan has been, the Bulls have been one of the slowest teams in the league, and that's very, very intentional. They don't really run in transition. He says he wants other teams to have to guard them for the full 24 seconds of the shot clock, which of course is like very idiotic to like purposely get shots in the last 5 seconds of the clock. But that is what he's been doing. And also, he has created the worst offense since the 2011-12 lockout year. That was the year where the Bobcats went like 7-55 or something and set the NBA record for lowest winning percentage. So Boylan just completely punts on offense. He just tries to grind other teams down, and the defense has been pretty good for the Bulls under him. But yeah, the game tomorrow is going to be a huge slog. It's just going to be, he's going to try to make it as unpleasant as possible to watch and just break the Pacers players down until, hopefully the Bulls can win like a 90-85 game or something.
The first time they played was 97-95. It's like a Darren Collison mid-range jumper and a Miles Turner questionably no-called foul in the last possession to win the first time in Chicago, if I recall.
Yeah, I think that was either his first or second game taking over as coach. So we didn't really know what was going on, but it's become much more clear 14 games in here that he's basically doing this every single game.
So I just realized I've tweeted this three times because you're right. The first time they played was right after they did the coaching change. It was like the day after. So I quote tweeted Woj's thing. It was like Bulls Pacers tomorrow. And the second time they played was Markkanen's first game. So I quote tweeted him coming back and I said, Bulls Pacers tomorrow. And then they just traded Justin Holiday. And I quote tweeted that and said, Bulls Pacers tomorrow. So next time they play, something crazy is going to happen too, apparently. Yeah. Former Pacers assistant, Jim Boylan, by the way. The small ties in the Midwest of basketball. So yeah, I don't think the Bulls are very good just looking at their roster and having watched them. But Zach LaVine was really good at the start of the year. And I don't think that's as much the case anymore. I saw he's ninth in all-star voting. How much has his drop-off been since the beginning of the year? Because I feel like he has not been great for the better part of a month and a half now.
It's been a huge drop-off. He started the year, I think he scored 30 or more points in like five of his first six games or something like that. He was at the top three of points per game for quite a while at the beginning of the season. And teams started doubling him. I think the Pacers do that too, where they're probably going to blitz him tomorrow. Yeah. And the reason for that is just the Bulls have no way of punishing teams for loading up on him. They just didn't have enough firepower. It's gotten a little bit better now that Markkanen and Chris Dunn are back. But he's really dropped off. Also, he recently sprained his ankle and he said he's not totally 100% yet. So you're probably going to see like 85 to 90% of Levine tomorrow.
Oh, wow. That is kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for Pacers fans.
What do they have to create shots if he's not at 100%?
They run so much of their offense through Dunn. It's just like the Chris Dunn show where brings the ball up super slow. He will run these pick and rolls with Robin Lopez or Wendell Carter. He loves mid-range jumpers, and the Bulls are really behind actually in the analytics movement where they're encouraging their players to take these shots. Deathly afraid of three-pointers. He won't take it unless he's super wide open, but he's gotten a lot better at finishing at the rim too. So you're going to see a lot of post-ups tomorrow, and you're going to see a lot of Chris Dunn pick and rolls for 15-footers.
Oh, good.
As I said, it's the worst offense since 2011-12, but you know, for a reason.
They played when they played in Indy, it was gray against white jerseys, which was like possibly the most unaesthetically pleasing game ever. So I don't think Chris Dunn can make it any worse with slow play, but maybe I shouldn't cross my fingers. I'm curious if you have any insight on this. Holiday's gone, and I was like, so I have this. I still have the screenshot saved when Jabari came in and was guarding Sabonis. I had four tweets in a row that were just Pacer score, Pacer score, Pacer score, timeout Bulls because he couldn't guard him at all. And now he didn't play for a while, and I was going to talk about Jabari not playing. But now that Justin Holiday's gone, do you think Jabari's going to play now?
I don't think he's going to play, no. I mean, they were talking about even like deactivating him the other day.
What?
He's being used as an example, basically, because, of course, everybody knows that he doesn't play defense. And Boylan is just so obsessed with creating this culture where the team is going to play 110% on every single defensive possession. So he has not played Parker for a very long time. Even when the Bulls are shorthanded, like what they're going to do is play Chandler Hutchison, their rookie, a lot more. He's probably going to start, I would guess, in place of Holiday. And they've played Hutchison up a position too at backup power forward rather than just playing, you know, a natural power forward and probably a better play. I don't think Jabari Parker is a very good basketball player, but he is better than Chandler Hutchison playing up at four. But yeah, it would, I would be very, very surprised if Parker gets off the bench anytime before the trade deadline, to tell you the truth.
I'm sure agents are going to love signing in Chicago, seeing how Jabari's getting treated this year.
Well, you know, their clients can get really nice biceps. We encourage push-ups here. We encourage a lot of suicides. So if you're looking for weight loss, make that New Year's resolution.
What a weird story it's been with Jabari. I kind of liked it with the team option deal when the signing happened, but now it's like, ooh, man, that guy's a minimum contract player.
It's kind of crazy, too, that the Bulls are trying to spin it as him still being an asset. They did this with Mirotić last year where they picked up a ton of bad salary in Omer Asik, and people who don't know how the CBA works, they just saw the Bulls got a first-round pick back, and they were like, oh, like, you know, that's great, but taking on a lot of dead money to get rid of Jabari, which is what they're going to have to do, is like not really a good use of cap space. I don't know. That might be a little bit too nitty-gritty for a podcast.
I enjoy this kind of stuff. The Pacers are going to have a bajillion things of cap space, so we've talked about it a million times on the show. I guess the Bulls will too, but all right, let's do something positive for the Bulls because I feel like I've been mean. Lauri Markkanen's good. Very good player. Shooting over 40% from three, which is you like to see, especially because there's not really any shot creators on this Bulls team. Last year, there was a game where he and Mirotić combined for 60 against the Pacers, and the Bulls won. Has he shown signs of improvement from year one to two? Has he looked like the future all-star that he showed signs that he could be in his rookie year?
So he missed the first, I think, 20-some games with an elbow injury, so he's trying to play himself back into shape, and he started off pretty rough. It's been a lot better lately, strung together a couple 30-point games, and I think that he has made some definite improvements from last year, even though it might not show up in his statistics, just because, as I said before, this Boylan offense is so bad. Like, they're putting the ball in Markkanen's hands with 4 or 5 seconds left on the shot clock and just asking him to, you know, create desperation shots, and he's still being able to score pretty efficiently. So I think that's pretty amazing. And yeah, he's he's definitely succeeding in spite of the coaching and players around him, not because of them.
I want Lauri Markkanen to be surrounded by like the best shot creator ever, because I feel like he's like the pinnacle of play finishing to me.
Yeah, he's been great offensively. He's also been pretty good defensively. The Bulls have this really interesting combination where they play him and Wendell Carter at 4 or 5, and that's just so much size. A lot of teams have had a lot of trouble finishing inside. It's going to be pretty interesting too, seeing how the Pacers do against that. I know, like, Sabonis, you mentioned it before, Sabonis kind of killed them last game. So I think that probably Markkanen is going to be matched up on him. So Markkanen struggles with bigger guys in the post. He doesn't quite have that NBA strength yet. So I'm going to be very interested to see that matchup.
Yeah, the Pacers aren't afraid of two big man lineups. They'll throw out anybody. They have Thad guarding like Giannis, and then the next night he'll be guarding like some scrub power forward, and he just kills everybody. It's so fun. But yeah, I look forward to a bunch of Sabonis Turner. They did really well against his team last time.
They're going to double Sabonis too. I don't know if you noticed last game, but that was definitely part of their game plan.
They send the low man kind of along the baseline for the double, and Sabonis just whips it along to the weak side for an open shot every time.
Yeah, so the Pacers are probably going to get a bunch of open threes off some nice ball movement. If that's going to be the key to this game, I think, is the Bulls have they play this ultra aggressive defense. So if the Pacers are able to make really crisp passes, then they're going to basically destroy the Bulls. But if they can get their hands in the passing lanes, the Bulls have been a lot better at creating turnovers too. So if the passes aren't on point, then the Bulls might have a chance here to at least keep it close.
Yeah, you know, I was going to ask you kind of keys to the game later, but I guess we can jump to that now. With a team like the Bulls that isn't particularly good, like, what has to go, what do they have to do really well? What has to go right for them to win? Because it seems like they don't foul a lot, which is good. But other than that, I don't really know what I can say the Bulls do so well that I'm like, if they do this well, they will win.
They just grind teams down. I mean, they try to make it as slow as possible. They get back pretty well on transition defense too. Like, they just try to everything is geared towards their defense. They're going to set their defense and force you to score and force you to get like not get frustrated at how strange this game is. When you watch this game tomorrow, you're going to think that you're watching like a game from 1995 or something. It's just not something that any other NBA team really does anymore. So I think they've caught some teams off guard too, especially with this blitzing defense. Not a lot of teams blitz anymore either. Jason Kidd was like one of the last coaches to do it. I think the Nuggets do it a little bit too, but I think teams are caught a little bit off guard if they haven't had time to scout the Bulls out. And you're seeing too, like the Magic just play the Bulls for the third time in 3 weeks. They completely scouted the Bulls out and they just destroy them because they knew these blitzes were coming. So it's going to be a test to see also like how well Nate McMillan has prepared this team, because if you do game plan for them, I think they are like kind of easy to beat.
I think he kind of knows already. If you remember the last shot of the 97-95 Pacers game they had in Chicago, the whole play design on the sideline out of bounds play when it was 95-95 was, okay, Bojan's going to fake this screen, but Oladipo's going to be the ball handler, and they just immediately blitz Oladipo the second the fake screen happened and Bojan was wide open. I think that's a good way to know you dummy around these not necessarily all kids, but like kids who are blitzing every possession, is just fake a screen or, you know, be prepared for something like that, because it worked so well and they got a wide open shot off of it.
Oh yeah, that's what the Magic were doing yesterday too, and the Bulls lost by 30. So if they do that, then yeah, they'll be fine.
I just got sad because I just figured out, I just went through their whole the Bulls December games. They only scored over 100 three times. That's
seems like zero times, so I'm surprised it was three.
Well, one was 101 against Washington, and one was a 16-point loss to Houston, who runs up and down like the whole game. So maybe it only seems like zero or one.
Yeah. It's gotten to the point now where I'm just watching these games to see the other teams. And I do like watching the Pacers. I mean, they have some really fun players that I feel go under the radar nationally. I mean, I'm sure you super familiar with them, like Bogdanović. Like I think he's like so underappreciated. You talked about Thad Young before. He's like awesome too, and those guys definitely do not get enough attention.
The Pacers are a fun experiment of like, what if you had a rotation of nine guys and all of them were above average NBA players? You know, like Oladipo's clearly probably gonna be an all-star again, but the rest of them are just like nine above at various levels of nine above average dudes. And I hate to say that McDermott's above average, because I know he was not good in Chicago, but he's been really good for the Pacers. It's like, it's a fun thought experiment for teams in small markets that don't necessarily have the chance to necessarily get good guys. It's like, okay, just get a bunch of guys who are positives on the floor all at the same time, and you can still be good. And it's working exceptionally well.
Yeah, you know, I liked Doug McDermott too when he was with the Bulls. I mean, he can't play any defense, but I saw you guys are having like a little movement too to get him in the dunk contest. People are always really surprised that this guy can actually dunk, because, you know, like he's just some like lanky white guy, but he's a good athlete. He can get up there.
it's great. Well, his ankles hurt right now, so I don't think his athleticism is going to be jumping off the page in this game. But yeah, he just like, and he's so good at cutting, right? So like once a game, he's
a really good cutter.
His defender falls asleep, and all of a sudden he's got a wide open dunk. It's like, well, there it is again. There's no way he's actually going to make it, but I want him to so bad.
I would vote for him if he was in there.
I don't know anyone else on the Pacers, but Darren Collison just dunked, and it was crazy. Like, I'm taller than that dude, and he just sprang up for a dunk on a fast break. It was crazy. So I am not worried about the Bulls. I think the Pacers are going to win. But I just, some inkling in me, like the first game of the year, Miles Turner's going to wear the mask, like McDermott hurt his ankles, like this game's actually going to be challenging, and I don't know why. And maybe it's something about the, like, I just like Larry Markkinen a lot or something, but I just feel like the Bulls have a way to do this, and it's driving me crazy. And I know that's not like something you can respond to or have insight on, but I have a gut feeling the Bulls are going to be hard to beat.
Well, yeah, as I told you before, they've stayed in some games where they really shouldn't have by embracing this strategy. So I would not be surprised if it was close. But if the Pacers score like 120, then it's just game over, because the Bulls can't get up to that level of scoring. But if they just like grind them down to under 100 points, then it's going to be like, you know, a 5 or 6 point game either way.
Last one, just to inform the listeners from the Pacers side, Wendell Carter, NBA Twitter's favorite low-key draft prospect. Has he been good? Has he been as great as people thought he would be? Is this kind of efficient long-range shooting guy. Or I saw he got benched in the last game, and he's only taking like half a three per game. So what's his deal been this year?
He's another guy that has just been totally ruined by Boylan. So when Hoiberg was coaching him, he was averaging about 1 3 per game, and he wasn't hitting them very well. He was hitting like, I don't know, 25% of them or something, but he did hit 43% in summer league, and he hit 41% at Duke. So this was a huge part of the idea of how Wendell Carter could succeed. Is he's a three level scorer. He's a great passer, great defender. He has been awesome on defense too this year, but then Boylan comes in and he basically hasn't been allowed to shoot from outside since Boylan became the coach. I think he's only taken maybe like 3 or 4 3 pointers in that entire span. So what teams have been doing guarding him is sagging off him like 7 or 8 feet, and he just holds the ball and he'll just like look for a pass. He won't even look at the rim. So if the Pacers have scouted the Bulls out well, that's something they should definitely do. And sorry, you had one other part of that question. I can't remember what it was.
No, that was it. And I just saw that it is going to be campaign. What would you just drop?
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I nailed it. I'm feeling good about that.
Yeah, you got one over on me.
Well, I don't know. I just think campaign is like a horrible basketball player. So
he is not an NBA player. Yeah. I think we've learned that after 2.5 years.
You did an asset for him. One of those second round picks the Bulls use so well.
Yeah, he was part of that McDermott trade too. They traded McDermott, Gibson, and a second rounder for campaign and some flotsam.
Holy moly. Is that really the whole trade?
Yeah. Campaign, Joffrey Laverne, and some 3-point shooter. I can't remember.
Holy, that's horrible.
Anthony Morrow, I think, was the third guy.
That is terrible.
Well, it wasn't as bad as the original McDermott trade where they traded 2 lottery picks to get him.
Oh, and didn't it turn out to be like Nurkic and Gary Harris or something crazy?
Yeah, it was Nurkic, Gary Harris, and they had to trade another second-round pick and then 2 additional second-round picks to offload Anthony Randolph, who they took as a salary dump. So it's basically 5 picks for McDermott and then another second-round pick plus Taj Gibson for Cameron Payne.
Oh, my God. You know what's funny is when they signed McDermott, I was looking through some of the trades he's been a part of, and it's like that trade and then the one you just talked about, the campaign, and like Carmelo Anthony. It's like, why is McDermott a part of all these like very high profile trades?
I think teams feel like he can just come in right away and help out, and that is kind of true. You know, he's just like a lights out shooter off the bench.
It's kind of funny, like he shoots a corner three and I just don't even look. I know it's going in. It's like 70% this year or something insane.
He's a nice guy too.
He's a super nice dude, and he loves that his role is just run around and shoot threes. Like every possession he's in the game starts with him cutting somewhere and the defense switching off ball. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I'm a Doug fan.
I am too. Is there anything else we should know about the Bulls ahead of this battle of Titans?
Just please feel sorry for Bulls fans here. We're going through some rough times.
Oh, geez. Do you think they end up with the worst record in the NBA?
I don't really think it matters this year. Like the odds for the bottom 3 teams in the draft are all the same.
So weird to me. I don't know how I feel about that.
Bulls fans are very familiar with the lottery odds, so you can ask us any questions.
Why? Wait, who? Oh, wait. No, not Jordan. What? Why?
Why are we familiar?
Yeah. Oh, just because you've researched it so much this year?
I mean, that's all we have to look forward to is the draft, yeah.
Oh, man, the last good Bulls team had Dwayne Wade on it. That blows my mind. All right, man, thanks so much for coming on. Where can people follow you and all your stuff?
Yeah, I write for The Athletic over at the Chicago Vertical, so sign up for that if you have not yet. And then you can follow me on Twitter, at StephNoh, that's StephNoh, and I live tweet a lot. I'm not doing it anymore because the Bulls are so bad, but I do tweet out a lot of video clips and analysis and stuff for free, so if you're into the X's and O's and nitty gritty, then I'm probably a pretty good follow for you.
Hey, I'll retweet that stuff during the game. If you don't have an Athletic subscription, it's literally the only thing I pay for to read, so I would highly recommend it. That's all we got today. All we got. That was fun. Get ready for Bulls, Pacers. First game of 2019 for the Pacers. Hopefully they can keep riding this 5-game win streak they've got going on. Stefan, thanks so much for coming on. We'll have to do this again next year.
Yeah, let's make it 3 in a row.
That'll be for sure annual. That's the number.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll be back Monday. I don't know what we'll be doing. Maybe a weekly show because Adam's back from vacation. Thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend.